is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? Amen. Right. To every time you say it, amen.
Amen.
We underestimate God many times. We almost put him in a box or think that he can't do something, and he can. Our God that we serve, the God that has saved my soul, the one that has made me an heir to a kingdom, can do it.
Amen.
And I don't think it can ever be said enough. How great is my God? Thankful for those songs this morning.
Yes, amen. Amen.
They were setting up. God, people, God's in control. He knows what he's doing. If God's people follow him, it just is evident and obvious. This is what God wanted. I have never really been considered a Hallmark preacher where I... What a holiday or something comes up, that I go with that holiday and preach about it. And I will tell you that I wanted to be this week. I feel so happy in my heart. I am glad for what Jesus has done for me. I am so thankful.
Amen.
And he takes me to Micah, chapter 6. And I studied this and was very uneasy about it. And I told Trina this morning, I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, really. It doesn't seem right. And then he just opens it up. How great is my God?
Amen.
The sixth chapter of Micah, I'll get there. Starting with the first verse. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of the servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember how what Balak king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgad. And ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherein shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? I'm not done, but I'm going to stop there for just a second. You can look at it one time you see the children of Israel when God's condemning them. You can basically just substitute in you. I substitute in me most of the time. Because as soon as the children of Israel gets what God has promised them, when they get the glory of God and they see that they have been blessed by God, the first thing it seems like they do is they go sin again. And what's God do? He brings them back. He gives them up. He gives them all they need. And what do? They mess up again. And God lifts them up and brings them back and gives them all they need. And what do? Sin again. No different here that he is looking at Israel and he is not happy. He's got a controversy with them. And I love right off the bat, and again, it makes me smile as I read it sometimes. Hear ye now that the Lord saith, Arise, contend thou before the mountains and the hills. Hear thy voice. Go tell it to the mountains and hills. See what they'll give you an answer of. Go to anything in this world with our troubles and our problems. Go to them and see what they can do for you. Many of them will give you an answer. Many of them will give you an idea of something that will lead you to a place that God never intended for you to be. And so then he goes on and he's like, look, people, look what I've done. But he goes to them in verse 3 and he tells them, what have I done to thee and where have I wearied thee? What have I done against you? And he tells them, bring it forth, testify against me. Come on, let me know it. I want to hear it. Tell me what I've ever done wrong to you. And I think we can do that to ourselves today. What has God ever done to us evil? What has God ever done to us that is just bad? Bad for us. What has God ever done that has put us in a needy spot? Or what is it? What has God ever done wrong to you? I have to ask myself that question. And he says, well, let's just, if you don't, you know, before we go on with that, let's look at what I have done. I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt from slavery. I redeemed thee out of the house of the servants. Oh, and then also, more than that, I gave you Moses. I gave you Aaron. I gave you Miriam to lead you, to guide you, to be examples for you. Not to say I'm going to put you out there with nothing. I'm going to give you people that can, that will talk and convey what I want to you. And then it talks about another situation they get into. And he said, look, they wanted to go here and there, but I had to take them care of it. And so what do I need to give him? What do I need? What is God wanting then? What does he want from us? Does he want 1,000 rams to sacrifice? You know, that's a lot. Does he want rivers of oil that, you know, to be given to him, to be a offering, to just say, is this what you want? But the 8th verse tells us what he wants. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and walk humbly humbly with thy God? He's not asking for 1,000 rams. I don't have 1,000 rams. He's not looking for rivers of oil. I don't have it to give him anyway. I do have a firstborn son that I can give him, but it won't do any good for me. He wants us to walk justly. And I think it's kind of what we talked about a little bit, even in Sunday school. Walk justly and to love mercy. That means that we have to have mercy as well as understand that God is merciful for us. We need to be ready to forgive. We need to look at the world and go about as they wrong us from here and there on every turn. Be ready to forgive them just like God does. To show love that God has shown us. I'm not great with that. I'm trying better. I know when you're driving, as I said before, if you're driving, I have problems showing love many times. It's just not easy. My father was an over-the-road truck driver. I was told many of the rules of the road. And when they don't do it, I'm like, get out of the left lane. Okay? I'm going 80. And that's great. If you want to go 75, get over. Okay? If you want to go 90, I'll get over. I promise. Just go. But I have many times there's people, and I look at things, and my son makes me laugh a lot. As we've grown up with Trina and I both being teachers, we had rules that we followed, and you grow up, and we had all these kids that were a little maybe not the best kids in the class, and we saw these things, and we said, man, I do not want my son to do that. I want to make sure when he's in class, he follows the rules. He pushes in his chair. He says, please. He says, thank you. He does all these manners. I wanted to build him in a way that he would be on a good track for being a good person. And as he grown up and he learned rules, and rules were just hammered into him. Well, now he is rule follower number one. And if you are not following the rules also, it bugs him to death. He could never be a teacher. We know that. He has no patience for things like that. But we have to be ready to forgive. Because guess what? As much as we may want to be rule followers, as much as we may know the rules that is in this book, we break them. But God is there with mercy, and we need to be there with mercy also. And I look more and I'm like, is this really what you got for me, God? It just totally baffled me. I want to turn over to Habakkuk, just a few books over. You can ask my wife. These are not my normal books that I read out of, so I'm learning new as I go, because much of my ministry that I've had and lived traveling around, I went to the New Testament a lot. Went to preaching, if nothing else, that I didn't know about the church or anything like that. I knew there was going to be lost that needed to hear the word. And so I stayed in the New Testament a lot. And so I'm working back now, getting in the Old Testament more and learning a lot more about the old prophets and things like that. But God teaches us every step of our way. God will lead us and teach us what we need to be doing. We talk about we always want to be in the center of God's will. Well, and we talk about we want God's will to be done. God's will can always be done. What he's telling you is he wants you to get yourself to where you need to be. Amen. We'll go to the third chapter of Habakkuk. And we'll start the 17th verse. This is where God kind of let me turn back to be a little bit of a Hallmark preacher. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Pretty grim. I didn't live on a farm, but growing up very near my grandmother's farm that they had, there was crops that were there, and I know there were times that the crops didn't come in as well as they expected. I know there's times when the cattle that they had would, the calves would come and they would be a stillborn and not be alive to be a cow that would be profitable. And there were times that tragedy would happen and I remember one time a tree fell on a cow, and I'm like, that is a large sum of money here on earth that has been taken out. And there's some times that if that's all you have to live off of is the food of the field and the animals, and that's your livelihood, all you've got, and it doesn't happen. And you really get to a dire need position. And many people will look at that and be like, why, God? Why would you do that to me? And it's got to be God coming against me. What does he say that he did? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer and the stringed instruments. So all these bad things are happening. All this is not looking good for him. But we have to look at what God has given us. People want to know what the purpose of life is. What's the reason for life? I'm going to tell you, I know it. It's find God. And if he allows you to live past finding him, to serve him and tell others, that's life, people. In a little bitty 3 or 4 words, that's what life is going to be. It's not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's not about what car you have. It's about knowing God. And if he allows you and blesses you enough to live past that, telling everybody else, uplifting his name. Because that's what you need more than anything in this life, is God. And the world has it so messed up. The world is so blessed, and they don't even know God. He allows them to have another chance every day to find him. We have so much. We're so spoiled. I am. I'm a spoiled brat. Look at the other countries that are out there and how spoiled we are. We come upon this holiday of Thanksgiving. And I will tell you, our house, Thanksgiving is a pretty big holiday. If you can't tell, I like to eat. And if you also don't know, my wife can cook pretty doggone good. And I don't know if you've probably seen my son. He likes to eat too. And if you've seen my brother, he likes to eat too. This is a holiday of food, and of course we're going to love that. As our little, we sing together, and with all of us really liking to eat, we've labeled our little group Tons of Faith. And it's kind of a junk, but, or no, Tons of Praise. Sorry, I got it wrong. Tons of Praise. And it's a kind of a laughing thing, but this holiday is not about the food. If you also come to my house, I have about a 20-foot turkey in the front yard. If that doesn't scream, here's Thanksgiving, I don't know what does. It's a little bit obnoxious. That's not what it's about. Turkeys are nice. They're really ugly birds, I think, but and they're pretty tasty, but that's not what it's about. You go back into, I think it was when Abraham Lincoln made it an actual holiday that we would celebrate on the last Thursday of the month. And I believe it was during the Civil War, where things were not good in the country. There were many, many casualties. I don't know, but I'm fairly certain Abraham Lincoln was a saved man. I've heard many of his quotes, and they sound pretty good to me. If he had that feeling in his heart, the things that he said, it's pretty good testimony. But he looked and he saw all the destruction and all the pain and all the problems that we were having. And he says there needs to be this day to give thanks unto the Lord. And many times before that, there had been Thanksgivings that we might not have, you know, quote, put a Thanksgiving title on them. But as the pilgrims and the settlers came over, many times when they got to where they were at here in this country, they would stop and have a feast to give thanks to the Lord for giving them a safe journey. There were other times where good crops would come in and they would stop and they would have a feast to celebrate and give thanks to God for what he had done for them. This Thanksgiving idea is not just about the pilgrims and the Indians having a little meal. It's about a holiday of giving thanks unto God. And that is something he has told us to do. He wants us to give thanks unto him. And I don't know, but about a month ago I preached about worship. There is not a better way to worship somebody than to thank them. Because if you thank them, you are letting them know that you are grateful for what they have done. You are letting them know that they did something maybe you couldn't do. But to say it to God, you know that he can do all things. So when we look back in Micah, And he tells us to do justly and to love mercy and to walk with him humbly. There's a time to understand when you can't do things. There's a time to know that there are certain things in this life that I can't control. I can't do it. I can't figure it out. But I have a friend. How many times have you heard that? You know, I can't put a new water pump on your car, but I have a friend that can. I don't know how to fix your gutters, but I have a friend that can. I don't know about a job that you might need, but I've got a friend that might know somebody. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I've got a friend that whatever need that you have, he's there able to help you, and he's able to fix it. And I have confidence in him. I have faith in this friend that I know that no matter what you have, can help you out. We all know that friend is God. If you have God in your heart, if you have made peace with him, if you have came to a point that he has brought that love into your heart, that is what you should want for everybody. That is the what he has told us to do, what he's asked us to do, is take that love to each and every person. And I don't know a better way to tell somebody about God than tell them about my testimony. And I'm thankful for that. My testimony, when I tell it and I just bring up God and raise him up, that's the best things there can be. Because I have faith in what he did in me. I am thankful for what he did to me. And I am so thankful, I want to spread it to you. That's praise. That's worship. That's getting your heart and soul to a point that God can talk to you. It's not about the sale tomorrow, the next day. It's not about so many things in this earth that they want to put into it and they want to change it. And they're all not, most of them are good things. I love the things that go on about Thanksgiving. But when you get down, I want to go back to the root of it. I want to get back to the old days. And I know I'm not that old, but the old days when it was just about God and how thankful we were that he brought us through something. I'm going to tell you what he's brought me through this last year. He's brought me through waking up each morning. And you may all have different circumstances and things that you can think back on over the last year that you might have thought that, man, I don't know how we're going to do it. How many times can you say, I had a friend that took care of it?
Amen.
God has been so, so good to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. I love that you part. Because I'm going to tell you what, that's talking directly to me. Whoever reads this part right here and it says you, he's talking about you. That it's everything. Everything. It's hard to believe, but there's not a step of life that we have that we can't say, thank you, God. Every breath that we get, well, thank you, God, for letting me have that one. Thank you, God, for letting me have that one. My knee hurts a little bit, but boy, I'm so thankful I got a little bit of breath. I may have problems. And he didn't say we wouldn't have problems. In fact, we learned that that's going to be trouble. There's going to be problems. If you're living in this world, we're going to have some conflict with the old devil as we go about. But he's going to be with us. And as we go through and as he steps with us each step, be thankful for it. Because guess what? If you weren't saved, do you have a friend anymore? Do you have that friend? You can say, well, I guess I'm going to have to rely on myself to figure this out. Done that before? I have. Messed it up pretty bad. But I'm so thankful. I am so blessed that I have a friend. friend that died on a cross. He went through pain. He went through humiliation. He went through anguish. My friend died for me. Not that I might be famous, not that I might be popular, not that I may have $1 million, that I may have a home. He died for me so that I can have a place that once this life is over, that I'm going to have it made. A place where I can sit with him and praise him and thank him forevermore.
Yes,
amen. Imagine that for just a minute. In heaven, that's all I think about. I don't know about what you think about heaven, and I know we all probably have different thoughts, but I just see myself just laying at Jesus' feet thanking him for what he's done for me through this life, what he's done for me to allow me to be there, what he's done for me to make sure I didn't go to hell. That's what's going on in heaven, constantly, in my opinion. We can bring a little heaven on earth. Just thank you. That's my message this morning. I'm thankful that God helped me. I had a lot of doubts as I was going through there. Anything on anybody's heart this morning?